Coming up on Before You Buy, the hip way to keep yourself warm and cold, something that may or may not be better than a Roku, and we dump Shannon's phone in a big thing of water. It's all coming up on Before You Buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it, right from your desk. For our special offer, visit Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter Before You Buy. And by Audible.com. To download the free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy.
Hey everybody, I'm Tom Merritt. Leo Laporte is on vacation and I'm filling in, having a good time on Before You Buy. This is Twit's product review show where we all just go and grab a bunch of products, take them home, play with them, try them out, and tell you what we think about them before you go out and have to buy them. We've got Chad Johnson with us today.
Hey, Tom.
You're trying
doing?
Out a iPod Nano.
I got the new iPod Nano.
Awesome. Shannon Morris, the producer of the show.
Hi.
And you've got that Netgear thingamajigger.
Yeah, the Netgear.
We're gonna do something to your phone. let's start. You probably are missing Leo, as we all are. So let's start with Leo Laporte. Before he took off on his vacation, he took home the Nest thermostat. Let's see what he thought about it.
Okay, so when I first moved in here, it had a standard Honeywell programmable thermostat. You've probably seen this before. You set the time, you set the temperature, and then you leave it. Problem is, I don't have a very regular schedule, so the heat was coming on many times when I wasn't here, and it was often off when I wanted it to be warm. I replaced the Honeywell with this. This is the Nest programmable thermostat. And this is fantastic. Now, first of all, I have to tell you, I am no handyman. But the Nest comes with everything you need to transfer from this to the Nest. And in fact, it's very easy. There's just a few wires. In most cases, thermostats are low-power devices, so you don't have to worry about electrocuting yourself. And it's pretty easy to get the wires just right. Nest makes it extra easy, though, by giving you an installation kit that not only has all the screws and parts you need, it even has a screwdriver with four different bits. It's kind of something you might want to keep around. They also have labels you can stick on the wires so you get the right color for each wire. It couldn't be easier to install the Nest. Once you've installed it, you'll have a plate that looks kind of like this. These are the different colored wires. Nest is capable of handling both air conditioning and heating. I just have heating here, so there are fewer wires. It's very simple. Notice the Nest base plate has a level built into it, which makes it easy to get it level. And they also have, you don't have to use this. I did in my case because I have a large plate behind my old thermostat, a larger plate to cover that up. So it's a nice installation. The Nest itself is just this beautiful, thin little device. You plug it right in. It connects very easily, presses in. And now this is the thermostat. A couple of interesting things. On setup, the first thing you do is attach the Nest to your Wi-Fi network. Yes, it has a built-in Wi-Fi receiver. The Nest uses that to communicate with you and to find out what the local weather is so that it doesn't turn the heat on a hot day or the air conditioning on a cold day. It actually knows what temperature it is. It also has motion sensors, so it knows when you're home and will adjust itself to your schedule. So all you have to do when you first get the Nest is set the temperature to a comfortable temperature whenever you're here. It's very easy. This just rotates. The dial rotates. Notice there's a little green leaf that shows up when you're in an ecological setting. And the Nest has already been at work here for a while, so it knows some things about my habits. So it, for instance, knows that it's going to turn the heat down at 10:30 when I go to bed because it knows it doesn't see me around. So I'm going to set it to 70. It's telling me, okay, but based on previous behavior, I'm going to turn that off at 10:30. You can adjust that as well. Most of the time, I just let the Nest do its own thing. Now, here's a great thing. Let's say the heat's on and I left the house, forgot to turn it off. I don't want to waste the whole day heating a house that's empty. Nest also has iPhone and Android apps. This is my house. Because the Nest is online on the Wi-Fi network, I'm also able to control it remotely. It's showing where the nest is in Petaluma, California, the current external temperature. Here's my house. I'm even showing a little clouds to show the weather. And here's the thermostat. And if I tap it, it's just like the Nest thermostat at home. I could turn the thermostat up and down remotely. So if I want to turn the heat down because I'm not home, I can do that right now. And a minute or two later, the Nest will turn itself off and my house will be unheated. Or let's say I'm coming home and I want to turn it up before I get home, I can do that as well. Nest has a couple of advantages. First of all, it's smart. It learns your behavior so you don't heat or cool your home when you don't need it heated or cooled. It knows the weather outside. It adjusts itself in some unique ways. They've even put some smarts into it. For instance, if you're using it as an air conditioner control, it's smart enough to know that the coils will still have some cooling capability even after the air conditioner's been turned off. So Nest leaves the fan on for a few more minutes to circulate that cool air even after the compressor's been turned off. It's little things like this, little touches like this, that make the Nest so sweet. Now, it's expensive, $250. If you're building a new home, even that's still more expensive than a regular thermostat, but not quite so prohibitive. If you're going to replace an existing thermostat, it's a lot of money. Money you probably won't make up, except maybe over a few years in saved heating and cooling costs. But it is really cool. The design is beautiful. And you can see its heritage. Tony Fadell, who founded Nest, was one of the early iPod designers. And I think he wanted to put that same kind of smarts into a thermostat. It really is great. In fact, even the packaging is well thought out, and he's just done a great job with it. So, pros and cons. On the pros, it's definitely a smarter thermostat. You don't have to program it. It learns over time. It takes account of things that a normal thermostat doesn't take account of, like movement in the home and the external weather. It's done a very good job for me, even in just a few weeks of use. I imagine over time it'll get smarter and smarter. Another pro, by the way, it's very easy to install. Don't be put off. I'm not a handyman by any means. I had no trouble doing it in just a few minutes, and I had all the tools that I needed supplied in the box with the Nest. The con, of course, is the price. $250 is pretty pricey. You can save some money by buying the older Nest, but the newer one is lower profile, has some additional features. I figure, why not get the latest and greatest? My recommendation on the Nest, an absolute buy. If you can get over the price hump, this thing is super cool. How many times will you have guests over and show them your cool thermostat, huh? Now that's nice to have. A definite buy on the Nest.
So there you go. If you don't care about money, it's a cool thing to have. Actually, I totally want one. I'm just as bad. I want that cool interface, even if it's not going to save me money. But if you're building a new house, it sounds like that's the way to go because it gives you so much control, and it probably does make sense because you will make that extra money back since you have to buy a thermostat in a new construction anyway. Thanks, Leo. And that is not the last of our products to review on Before You Buy. We got some more coming up, and like I said, we're gonna go after Shannon's Samsung Galaxy S3. But first, Leo's got a word from our sponsor, Stamps.com.
Excuse me, do you mind if I interrupt here briefly to talk about Stamps.com? We'll continue with the reviews in a moment. Leo Laporte here. Stamps.com is amazing. I've been a Stamps customer for almost 10 years now. In fact, I think I started with Stamps.com when they started. Stamps.com lets you print your own U.S. postage from your computer and your printer. You do not need a postage meter. Boy, I'm glad I'm not in the postage meter business. I've put it completely out of business. Why lease a postage meter, pay extra for special ink when you can use Stamps.com? Save about 80% off a postage meter. And it's more convenient because, for instance, when you print an envelope at Stamps.com, you don't just print the postage, you print the whole envelope. The postage, your logo, return address, and mailing address. It'll take the addresses from your address book, from QuickBooks, from PayPal. If you're an eBay seller, Amazon or Etsy seller, it takes it from there. It does the work for you. It even on Express Mail, Priority Mail, you have a one-click interface to send an email out to the customer and let them know it's on the way. It's a professional shipping solution made available for anybody, even small businesses as ours. We have two accounts. We love it so much. I want you to try Stamps.com. Now, when you go to the webpage, you'll see a $80 offer and a trial offer. And that's a good deal, but I want you to try a much better one. $110 bonus offer. All you have to do is enter the code before you buy. Click that radio microphone on the right, up at the top right there, and enter the offer code before you buy. And that $80 bonus value turns into a $110 bonus offer. You get up to $55 in free postage you can use over the first few months of your Stamps.com subscription. You get a free digital scale. You just pay shipping and handling. $5 supply kit. 4-week trial. They cancel before the 4 weeks. You don't owe them anything, and you get to keep the scale even. I think Stamps.com is so great. I'm so glad you can try it this way and understand why it is so fantastic. Do you do any international mailing? Stamps.com is amazing. Makes it so easy. You don't have to go to the post office anymore. Everything you need to do, you can do from Stamps.com 24/7. And the mail carrier comes, picks it up, and that's that. It turns your business into a, sophisticated shipping operation. It's what smart people use, what you should be using. Stamps.com. Use the offer code before you buy for that special offer. And now back to Before You Buy.
Thanks, Leo. All right, I host the show Frame Rate. I'm a big fan of these devices that let you get internet television, cut the cord, go over the top, all of that sort of thing. I'm always trying out a bunch of different ones. That Chad knows. I've got my living room is littered with these things.
You have the most set-top boxes I've seen anywhere.
But the one I have not tried, and the one I don't have, is the one you were playing with, Shannon, the Netgear Neo TV.
Yeah, the Netgear Neo TV. This thing is so cool.
Is it? All right. Well, you took it home. And you played around with it. So let's see what Shannon found out.
Hey, guys. Shannon Morse here, the producer of Before You Buy. And I decided to do something a little different this week. So hello, whoever is hosting. So this week, I decided to check out the Neo TV streaming player. Now, to be exact, this is by Netgear, and this is the NTV 300 version. There is a newer one out, but I decided to buy the one that costs $50. So it's about $49.99 on Amazon, and I think, yeah, good buy. It's cheap. Why not try it out? Now let's open up the box. So in the box, you get your general quick start guide, of course, and I also got this little piece of paper that says GNU General Public License. I usually see that with Linux boxes. That's kind of interesting. I wonder if this runs Linux. Cool. Okay. And then this is the Netgear TV. Isn't it cute? The little Neo TV. It's smaller than the Roku box that I have at home, the XD, I believe it is. Now on the back, you'll see your power, of course, the power port. You also have Ethernet, which is interesting, HDMI, and the little reset button. Now, it has HDMI, but I didn't see an HDMI cord in the box. That's weird. I guess I have to go back and buy one. That stinks. Oh well. And I have my power cord, of course. And the remote. Now, the remote takes 2 AAA batteries, but it does come with a couple, so you're not out of luck there. But you can go ahead and install those and get started, as long as you have that HDMI cord. Up at the top, you have your usual little point-and-click buttons. You also have play, pause, forward, backwards, stop, rewind, of course. And you also have at the bottom 6 very interesting little buttons that look like shortcuts. Interesting. So there's Netflix, Hulu Plus, Cinema Now, Vudu, Pandora, and YouTube. I guess these are shortcuts. That's pretty cool. Okay. I can get used to that. Nice. Now, the Neo TV. It does 1080p HD, but it doesn't come with that HDMI port. And it's 802.11n wireless, or you can also use wired. It's nice that you have those 2 different choices if you need. And it's a streaming device, so it comes with plenty of channels already pre-installed on the software. You just plug it into your TV via HDMI, and you're good to go. Now, the software is very easy to get around. You just move around to the favorite channel that you want to choose, you click, and you play. I did notice during my streaming that sometimes it would be a little bit jittery, or it would have to buffer. It was kind of weird. And altogether, the software itself is kind of slow. It's definitely a lot slower than the Roku box that I usually use for my home theater. Amazon is not included in the channel selection. I was a little upset by this because I have an Amazon Prime account, and I really wanted to be able to use Prime with this new box, especially once I set it up in my house. Now, you get the one remote with the box, but It's also really cool. If you read the Quick Start guide, you find out that you can also download an app on Android or iPhones. This Android and iPhone app is specifically a Neo TV remote app. It's completely free and you can download it, and you can browse around your channels with it, you can start and stop, you can point and click, and you can even use different gestures. It's very nice that they included this as a free kit with your Neo TV. I was really, really happy about that when I first saw it, and it works pretty well. Both of them have to be on the same wireless network for it to actually work with your Neo TV, so keep that in mind. The last thing about the Neo TV that I found out was really cool, we actually bought this for Hack 5, and it turns out you can root this device, hence why it came with the GNU public use license. Kind of cool. If you're a Linux user like me, you probably use Linux and you like to gain root access to pretty much every device that uses it, uses that operating system. So I was really happy to find out that you can root the device. So now for the pros and the cons. First off, the pros. So one thing is the remote app. It's called Neo TV Remote App. It's free, downloadable on Android and iPhone. I'm really glad that they didn't leave out the Android devices with this application, and it works pretty well. Second off, the price. You really can't beat $50. I mean, $49.99, that's a great price for a streaming TV. I don't know of any other ones that are cheaper than that at the moment. And you can gain root access. Now, I know a lot of you guys out there probably really don't care if you can gain root access or not, but it's kind of cool that you have that ability if you really want to. And not so many cool things that you can do with root access, but I kind of enjoy it. And the cons. It's really slow. I haven't seen any other streaming devices that are actually as slow as this one. So I had quite a few problems with it, and I'm very impatient, so every time I dealt with it, it kind of gave me a bad taste in my mouth, I won't lie. And it's missing channels, really important ones. How can you do that? You can't leave out Amazon. That's really important. So that was a big problem. And no HDMI cable. I know you can buy one on Amazon for like $2. Please don't go buy those monster cables for like $100 because they're not worth the money. They're gold-plated, whatever. It's not worth the money. Just go out and buy a $2 HDMI cord. But it should have been included in the box. I mean, the pricing is great, but altogether, I gotta say, I'm willing to spend a little bit more money to get a better customer feel for the operating system and the software. So I'm going to give the Neo TV a don't buy. Maybe next time.
I have to say, after hearing that review, I can't disagree. Now, they might get the Amazon app. If you remember, Roku, maybe, back in the day when it launched, only launched with the Netflix app. They didn't have anything else.
That's true. And they do have updates. I noticed mine was on like version 1.4 or 1.5. So I know that they bring out updates now and then. So maybe they will include it. But it still crashes. It's still really slow. And the video quality is not really that great.
And you're not saving a ton of money over a Roku.
No, you're not. I am way willing to go ahead and out and buy a Roku for like, you know, 30 extra bucks or something like that. Because the quality is just so much better.
Yeah. You know, there's some good ones, like Western Digital makes a good cheap one. Sony makes a good one that's not cheap. It's actually very expensive. But I tell you, Roku is the one that's the sweet spot for me still.
So. Me too.
Yeah. Also, I don't like those specialty buttons.
You don't
think
like
about
them.
It.
I liked them.
Think about it, though. 3 years ago, those buttons would have been juiced and crackle. And that's not going to stay.
That's kind of true.
That's not going to stay
I don't even know what Cinema Now is, to be honest.
Cinema Now has been around forever, actually. They were one of the first ones. So, yeah, I'm kind of surprised to see them. They're an oldie.
Yeah, it's just,
not sure if they're a goodie.
Although it was kind of cool that you could root it, I will say. That was kind of fun.
Now, I know rooting is fun on its own. Is there any cool stuff you can do after you root it?
Not really.
It's
it just
it's
gives
just
you
for the thrill
gives you
of
that
rooting.
Access. Yeah.
And that's
jailbreaking.
That's enough for some. Exactly. Yeah. All right, Chad. You've got the iPod Nano.
Yep.
A choking hazard.
Possibly. If you're a small child, this could easily get swallowed. It's seventh generation iPod Nano.
Let's see what Chad had to say about the seventh generation Nano.
Hi, my name is Chad. I'm with Twit and Before You Buy, and this time we are reviewing the iPod Nano 7th generation. First, it has been redesigned. There is a 16 by 9 screen. You have a lock button at the top. You have a lightning connector and a headphone connector at the bottom, a home screen on the front of the device, and a volume rocker on the left side of the device. Now, these come in colors. You can have your choice of colors. We chose product red for our device. And the screen comes in at 432 pixels by 240 pixels. This is running iPod software, not iOS. So don't expect to download any new apps for the iPod Nano. It comes with all the apps that you would expect an iPod to have: music, podcasts, video, photos, radio. It even comes with a fitness, this is the Nike Plus app, and a clock, which has the normal clock, stopwatch, and a timer. Now, when using this device, everything was snappy and responsive. Everything was there that I wanted. The one thing that wasn't there that I really wanted was some sort of cloud integration. There is no way to connect via Wi-Fi and sync via Wi-Fi to your computer, or if you are a, say, Spotify subscriber, forget about it. You have to download your music onto your hard drive and then sync it via Lightning connector and inside of iTunes. For me, I had actually moved on beyond physical MP3s living on my hard drive, and so I actually had to download music to be able to review this device. Now, while it doesn't have Wi-Fi, it does have Bluetooth, and you can use that to hook up to Bluetooth wireless speakers or wireless headphones, or it will also connect to a heart rate monitor if you're using the Nike Plus app, which is kind of nice. So who would use this device? I would say runners, except that they've moved away from the clip design. So you still have to put this in a pocket. Even though it is small and slim and light, you have to, like most running shorts don't have pockets, and so you'd still have to buy a clip or a pouch to keep it inside of. The Nike Plus app does use a built-in accelerometer, so you don't really need the Nike Plus pod dongle thing for your shoe anymore, which is nice. But I don't know. Maybe runners. Maybe you. Who knows? Before I get too further, let me get into the pros and cons of this device. The pros are that it is small, light, and thin. It does have a 16:9 screen, so you can view videos, and it's pretty good for runners. In the cons, there is no connectivity with the internet at all. You have to use a cable to sync it. This is a pretty low-res screen, and I tried to get through a few episodes of Adventure Time on it, and it just felt silly. It was so small and so inadequate, really, for watching videos for an extended period of time. And finally, it is expensive. Coming in at $150, you could buy a Nexus 7 for that amount of money, and it would have the same amount of storage, 16 gigabytes. Buy, try, don't buy for the iPod Nano 7th generation. I'm going to say don't buy. This device, I just have a hard time thinking about who it would be appropriate for. If you are the specific person that needs the Nike Plus app, that doesn't want to use their phone while they run, that has all of their music downloaded onto their computer already and doesn't mind physically syncing the device, sure, maybe this is for you. So thank you for watching. This is Chad for Twit and Before You Buy. See you next time.
So let me get this straight, Chad. I get no ability to install apps, no internet connectivity, a very small screen, and all I have to do is pay $50 more than a Nokia Lumia.
Absolutely. Yeah, or $50 less than a phone on a two-year contract.
It's $150. It's a very nice device. But it's way too expensive.
Absolutely.
At this point in time.
Absolutely. And I really do want to stress the fact that this is a teeny tiny, like, while the teeny tiny device is nice, watching Adventure Time with the width of half of a finger,
it's so cute,
is a little
bit Adventure difficult. Time is, it looks really cute.
It does. And this is,
it's
probably
the you should be showing, like, you know, I don't know, Skyfall or something.
Right, because this is all solid colors with nice black lines. But if you were to actually watch an actual movie or something, it'd get difficult real fast. I mean, look, you can look at your thumb, look at my thumb, and it's like, what, three thumbs in width, that screen, I mean, it's teeny tiny.
You can get an iPhone 4 now for free on contract.
Right.
I mean, I guess you don't have to pay for a contract here. So
no.
There's that.
Luckily. I mean, it is as smooth as an Apple device that you expect it to be, but I can't see shelling out $150 for something that's only 16 gigabytes. And I said in the review that a Nexus 7, what I meant to say was it costs $200 for a Nexus 7.
So for $50 more, you get a 7-inch
You get a 7-inch screen,
yeah.
Same amount of storage with connectivity to the internet.
But it won't fit in your very tiny pocket.
No. But if you're a runner, that doesn't make sense. If you're a runner and you need this device, most running shorts don't have pockets. So you've lost the clip. You can't clip this anywhere anymore.
You have to buy a clip.
You have to buy a clip.
So
or a
pouch. That's an extra amount of money. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Chad. We have got one last review to get to where we will torture Shannon's phone. But first, a word from our sponsor, Audible, and Leo. Hey, Leo.
If I might interrupt just briefly to talk about Audible.com, then we'll get back to Before You Buy. You know about Audible.com, don't you? Oh, I love me some Audible.com. You know, I am in Australia as we do this show, and yes, I pre-recorded this, but it's a 14-hour flight each way. Plus, I'm going to spend a lot of time floating around on a boat. So guess what I brought with me, besides all my camera gear and my diving fins? I brought Audible.com on a variety of devices. I do not want to go a minute without my audiobooks. Here's my Galaxy Note and the Audible app. It's available for iOS, Android, and Windows Phone, and it's just fantastic. So one of the things I like about Audible is that when you listen to a book on Audible, it's yours forever. So I've been an Audible member for 10, 11, maybe 12 years. So every book I've ever listened to is available in my audio library, and I can go back and listen to them anytime, which I just really love. You also with the Audible app, you can download books ahead of time. And so this is what I've downloaded for the trip. I've got The Name of the Wind from Patrick Rothfuss. That was a Trey Ratcliffe recommendation. Cloud Atlas, just about finished with that. That's really good. And by the way, the readers on Audible are so fantastic. They bring it to life. Cloud Atlas is a great example. There's five different readers on this because Cloud Atlas is five stories interwoven. Is that how many is? Something like that. And so each of the stories, let me see if I can find Cloud Atlas on the Audible website here. And play you. That's the other thing I love about Audible is you can get samples. It's like the old record stores where you get samples of the record before you buy it. You know, you can go in the booth, put on the headphones. You don't need to go in a booth. You just need to go to the website. Here's Cloud Atlas and listen. Let's listen to a little bit. I'm not sure who this sample is from, but it's Scott Brick, Cassandra Campbell, Kim My Guest, Kirby Hayborn, and John Lee, and Richard Matthews are the narrator. So that's more than five.
Hey, I fancy he is a bedlamite.
Oh, yeah, that's Scott Brick. This is
Friday.
This is the first story. In fact, it's very early on in the first story.
Mr. Boerhaave, in private, even...
I wonder... Oh, I'd be so... I have more on my... It's so good. So they said they could never make a movie out of this. That may be the case. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I got to tell you, the book comes to... It's a movie in your mind when you listen to it on Audible. Now, here's how you can get that book free, or any one of... almost 100,000 books free. Visit audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. You're going to sign up for the gold account. That's a book a month subscription. I do think the subscription accounts are the way to go, but you can also go a la carte. First month's free. First book is free. Cancel at any time. Pay nothing. It's yours to keep. Cloud Atlas would be a great choice, but, you know, you could see I have over 500 books in my Audible collection. Night Soldier. Ready Player One. That was read by... Will Wheaton. That would be a good choice, too. I can't wait. And these are books I'm actually looking forward to the plane ride because there's all these books that I've been meaning to read, that I've wanted to read, and I haven't had a chance to, and I'm going to get to them. That's what I love about Audible. It's brought me back to reading. I just missed it. But when I started commuting and I was able to listen in the car, No Easy Day, that's written by one of the SEAL Team 6 Navy SEALs that killed Osama bin Laden. That's the inside story of it. I can't wait to read that. Among others, who was recommending that? Joe Walton. I think Brian Brushwood said it was great. Audible podcast. I know. Okay. Tom Z in the chat room saying it's not reading, it's listening. You're right. It's not reading technically. But you hear every word that you would have read on the page. For me, reading is listening because when I don't know, maybe not, maybe you don't do this, but when I read a book, I hear it in my head. Don't you hear the words as you're reading them in your head? So this is like that, except your eyes aren't involved. You close your eyes and listen, and these great readers, it just comes to life. Yes, it's listening. But I think of it as reading because it's great literature, great history, suspense, fiction, all that stuff pouring into my mind one way or the other. I love it. Audiblepodcast.com/beforeyoubuy. You got to try it. Now, back to the show, ladies and gentlemen.
I was most impressed how Tom Z was able to troll Leo when Leo wasn't even here.
Oh.
From the past.
Nice.
Owned.
He's like a doctor of time and space. All right. I am not just very thirsty. We have a very... I am very thirsty, but I'm not going to drink this water because it's for test purposes only. What is the name of this product we've got here, Shannon?
This is the Sadio Obex Waterproof and Destruction Proof Case.
Yeah,
for
forget
the
Sadio Obex. You can get that on the website later. It's S-E-I-D-O. But yeah, it is supposedly waterproof and destruction proof.
Supposedly.
So we're gonna test the waterproof right away. Now, it's actually kind of hard to get your Samsung Galaxy S3 in there.
Yeah, well, I noticed when I was trying to break this thing open, it is so hard to open up. There's this little open notch right here, and they say stick a quarter in there and just open it up. Easy as cake. And I was like, okay. And because of this rubber
sighting... Did they
actually
say easy as cake?
Well, I say easy
okay,
as
just,
cake.
Okay, I don't want to put words in their mouth. Or cake in their mouth.
As long as the cake is not a lie, then it should be easy. So because of this rubber sighting that goes all the way around...
That's
it,
the
it
seal.
Makes it, yeah, okay. It makes it a really, really tight seal, but... Unfortunately, that also kind of makes it very hard to open.
So you've brought in your actual Samsung Galaxy S3, your very own, and you're willing to risk it to test this. You're brave. You're bold.
I'm very brave.
I appreciate this. So let's get to seating it properly in there.
Yeah.
And so how much does this cost?
It's $80.
$80. Okay,
so $80 for the case.
For the case.
That's half the price of an iPod Nano.
Although it does come with it does come with extra rubber sidings on it because it has a couple of little rubber notches. So
oh,
you can
so in
open
case
it
those tear off
it.
Or get damaged or something, you can replace them. That's thoughtful.
So
it's good.
Squish it in here really.
It's a little
good.
Pricey, but if it works, and if you're the kind of person who has gone through a few phones because you're on a construction site,
yeah,
or,
I would really
or
say
out and about, this might be worth it.
If someone has a job where there's a hazard.
You have to
it getting
bite it
wet.
Usually,
how I'm making sure it's set in there really tight.
Yeah, the teeth have 150 pounds of pressure that they can add to.
All right. So that's all. That actually, it took a while to get it closed, but once you put it in there, it snapped shut really easily.
Yeah, it did.
All right.
So we have it snapped in there, and I'm playing this video on here. So I can play
oh, you've
the
got
video
an episode
during.
Of Tech News Today going. That's
yeah,
okay.
And apparently you can use it.
So you can touch the touchscreen and it works.
Yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
Wow. I can turn
so
it up.
So it's a capacitive screen. It's just transmitting your touch right through the screen.
Yeah, so it's pretty nice, and you can also use these little volume controls on the side, and you can open up these little rubber ports in case you need to open them up for the mic.
But
you
need to
charger.
Keep those closed.
You need to
or
keep
it will
these
leak,
closed.
Right?
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm going to tighten.
That
those
seems
and make
to be
sure
that would be the fail point if I had to guess. Anywhere they have to go. But now we have seen members of this network dunk their phones into water before.
This happened before.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
But those were not necessarily meant to be fully dunked. This is meant to be fully dunked,
This
right?
is meant to be fully dunked, yeah. This All is right. meant to actually go underwater with you, and you can use it. You can even, do recording while you're underwater.
So you could dive?
That'd be really cool.
Shallow diving, obviously.
Shallow
not
diving,
deep diving.
Yeah,
but,
yeah I don't think it would work with deep diving.
Let's dive it. Let's dunk it.
God,
let's see what happens.
Really
here, raise it so you can see it on camera.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Oh, it's all the way in there.
Let it go. Let it go.
Okay.
Just let it go, Shannon. Let it go. There
the
it is.
Video's still
now,
going.
If you're actually, can you see it? Can you see it moving?
There's seconds today. There it's a little stretched because of the video app.
The aspect ratio is not right.
We're in news fuse at the moment.
But it's still working.
Yeah, and this would be what you would do if you're in shallow, if you're snorkeling or something and you
would.
Wanted to use it.
So this.
How long should we leave it in here?
Well, they say the first time that you get it, you should test it out for 5 minutes, open it up, and make sure there's no water in
there. All
right,
we don't have 5 minutes, but.
I did test the case before I actually used this with my cell phone, I will say, and it did. I didn't see any
water spots.
You
didn't see any water in it?
So
you tested it empty, though.
Yeah, empty. It was completely empty.
Risk-free.
So hopefully it still works.
All right, reach in there, reach in there and pull it out. Let's see. This isn't a full test, obviously, because we're not doing 5 minutes, but.
Or do we need napkins?
It's very drippy.
I still hear it.
You still hear it playing?
Yeah.
It looks like the capacitive button, it might have triggered the screen just because of how water works.
I think she grabbed it when she pulled it out.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. Yeah, it's still going.
Yeah, that's true. It paused it because it was playing to that point, and then it paused it.
Yeah.
Well, that aspect ratio looks like crap.
Yeah, it does.
There you go. That's not the case, folks.
No, that's just
that's
the way
not
I look.
The case.
Yeah.
So it's working fine.
Yeah.
Do you want to open it up and verify that it didn't?
Make sure all the I'll have to break it open with the.
Make sure you don't get any droplets of water. There's a lot of droplets of water.
Well,
on the outside
droplets aren't
going to
be that big.
Okay.
Deal.
Okay.
We won't be able to tell if it's leaking.
Right.
Pause the video.
Because what I was saying was there's still drops of water on the outside of the case.
So this is not made for nails.
Yeah. I saw you trying to open it up earlier after the
I was using
empty
like
test.
My teeth and my nails.
We walked to the kitchen. Shanna's biting the case. You want me to do it again?
I got it.
You got it.
I can
all
do
right.
it.
Right.
So
keys.
This was interesting to me because I was thinking maybe I should buy this for my sister.
It's the Obex waterproof case, $80 from Seidio, S-E-I-D-I-O.
Seidio.
And look at that.
Yeah.
It's actually bone dry in there.
So there's a, I don't see any water on there.
There's a little water here, but that might have been from when you opened it.
Tom, your head's in the camera.
That's my bald spot that you're saying. Here, just show that again. There we go.
There we go. So... yeah, there's a couple of spots in there from when I broke it open and they got in there. But overall, I don't see any wet spots.
Yeah, I don't see anything on that side.
Here. And the video is still playing.
Let's see on the... It won't come out.
There we go.
I'd say that's dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good, and the cell phone is dry.
It's... water droplet, but that's on the other side.
Yeah, that's on the other side. Yeah, those are from my fingers being all wet. Overall, I'd say that it definitely works, and if you are one of the people that goes out and you do a lot of diving and you want to be able to record underwater, or maybe you just want to buy something that works underwater with your phone, just for a vacation, this is a great buy. I would definitely say buy it.
You're saying buy. Pros are it works.
Pros are it works. Yes.
It actually protects and it's usable. It's got a touch screen.
Yes, and the case works. The phone works while you have it.
And
in
I would
the case.
Say the ports to get at the charger and the headphone. That's
also
a huge pro.
Cons are pretty much it's kind of hard to open.
It's really hard to open. And it's a pain in the butt, and I kind of clipped one of my nails while I was trying to do that. And the price, it's $80.
$80.
Very expensive. I wouldn't get it unless you're definitely like a rugged person, you're getting out there and you want to make sure that you're not dropping your phone and breaking it every time.
And $80 is worth it to protect having to buy a phone over
yeah,
and over
that's
again
so
that
true.
Case, so. All right, well, that is it for this episode of Before You Buy. You can find our picks on our website at twit.tv if you want links to a lot of stuff that you see here. And also, you can email us. Our email address is byb@twit.tv. Don't forget, full versions of all the reviews on every show are available at youtube.com/twit, and we're putting together our best of show. If you've got a best moment from Before You Buy, or any of the shows on Twit for that matter, go to twit.tv/best of and let us know what those were. I believe Ayaz is doing Before You Buy next time.
Yes, he is.
So it's the merry-go-round of hosts, but we'll be back in a couple weeks. That's it. Remember, you gotta watch Before You Buy. We'll see you next time.